Hi, everybody. Good afternoon. My name is Ross Spano. I'm running for Congress to replace Congressman Dennis Ross in the 15th District of the United States Congress. I've been a member of East Hillsborough County, a resident, native, my whole life. I've had the pleasure of serving in the Florida House for the last 6 years. And the reason I'm running is that I want to be able to look my children, grandchildren, one of which I'm expecting within the next few hours, and your children and your grandchildren in the eye and tell them that the American dream is alive and well.
Thank you.
My name's Ed Shoemaker, Dr. Ed Shoemaker, I should say, and I'm a conservative Republican candidate for congressional seat 15. Why am I running? I was contacted by my grassroots supporters back in April to run because they want someone in Washington, they want a congressman in Washington that will protect America and our sacred values, our constitutional rights, and our God-given rights. They want someone in Washington that they can depend on, that won't abandon the district. They want dependability. I'm not a career politician. However, I've been fighting for conservative values all my life as a state committeeman elected for Polk County, RPOF, and my time's running out, and I'm sure I'll get in everything later. Thank you.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Ray Pena. I am a candidate for U.S. House of Representatives, Congressional District 15. Give you a little bit about my background. I'm a military veteran, United States Coast Guard. I served between 74 and 78. Upon my honorable discharge, I joined the Washington, D.C. Police Department, and then I went on to the San Jose Police Department where I retired as a detective. I'm a small business owner, and I am a father, grandfather, six grandchildren, and I'm here to fight for you, ladies and gentlemen. What caused me to run was the malfeasance and corruption in government. And I got tired of seeing legislators lying to the American people every day. So I decided to join this fight to represent you. Honesty, integrity, and transparency. Thank you.
Hey guys, it's great to be back. Andrew Learned, I've been a member here since I came home from my deployment last year. I'm running for this race, been at it for a little over a year now. We've built a grassroots foundation, more donors than ever given in this race before. And I think we're part of that blue wave that's been building all over this country to come up and fight for working people. I was deployed during the transition. One of my guys didn't come home, and that was the moment that got me in this fight. Because we need more veterans in Congress. Congress used to be 70% veteran. It's now less than 20%. Because back in the day, we were able to talk together and get things done. And the dysfunction that's been there ever since is just truly mind-numbing. So I got in this fight to make a fight for working people. Been at it for a little over a year, and I'm looking forward to answer your questions. Thanks.
Hi there, I'm Danny Kushmer. I'm a third generation Floridian, born and raised in Hillsborough County. I spent the last 12 years working in Polk County. I am in the ag industry. So I started out farming back in South Hillsborough County, and NAFTA was one of the reasons why we no longer farm. So I want to go to Washington, D.C. I want to help our president renegotiate NAFTA. It's been 24 years since that agreement has been signed. I think it's time for a fresh set of eyes to look at it. I'm also tired of the political musical chairs that we continue to play in Congress. The problems that we have with immigration, with our borders, and most importantly, our education can be placed squarely at the foot of our career politicians that are playing those games in Washington. So I am not a politician. I have never run before. However, I've been in this process for many years. As a farmer, back in the 80s and 90s, I used to have to go to Washington and Tallahassee and fight for our farmers' rights. Now I'm back into that industry again, and I'm fighting for our farmers around the country. And you know what? A farmer is a small business. Just like everybody else, we need to support those guys. So it's DannyKushmer.com. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Sean Harper. I'm a Republican, and I am a conservative outsider. So for the last 25 years or so, I've ran a successful business in District 15, and I have helped numerous families, businesses, build and attain the American dream. I can tell you I'm not a politician, and I do not have a political record. My record has been dealing with the records of politicians for 25 years. Politicians have proved that they cannot get things done in Congress. Why? Because politicians play politics. And I can tell you, we do not need any more career politicians in Washington. We need business leaders. And I'm a business leader. And I will bring business principles to Washington to help President Trump move his agenda forward. And I pray that other business leaders like me stand up and serve and go to Washington to help make America great again. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Neil Cumby, and I am from Lakeland. I was born and raised in Polk County. I have a wife of 37 years. I have two grown sons, and now we have essentially two grandchildren that have come to us through the step-grandchild fashion. I do have a record of service. I have a record as a county commissioner for 16 years in Polk County. I left politics for 8 years, ran for the legislature, was elected to the Florida House, and was then appointed by President Trump back in November to head the Farm Service Agency for Florida and the Virgin Islands. I'm an unapologetic, enthusiastic supporter of President Trump. When Dennis Ross decided he would not seek re-election, I answered the call of President Trump, who'd been calling for reinforcements. So I'm running to carry that agenda and help the Trump team make America great again. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. My name is Kristen Carlson, and I also am running for the 15th District. I'm a resident of Lakeland. I belong to a law firm here in Tampa, just down the street. I've been with them for over 12 years. I was first introduced to the Tampa Bay area. My father was stationed at MacDill Air Force Base. I was a military brat. He was career service. He came there as a wing commander with my mother, who was an Army surgical nurse. She worked at Memorial Hospital over here on Swan. I went to law school. My first job was in Pasco, Pinellas State Attorney's Office. From there, I went to work as general counsel for the Florida Department of Citrus. So at the Department of Citrus, where I was for 12, almost 13 years, I was able to work in a number of high-level areas, in both on the federal level and the state level. The reason I'm running is because I have two sons. They make under $20 an hour. They never have any hope of buying a home if our economy stays the same. And I look forward to answering questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Kristen.
Good afternoon. I'm Kurt Rogers, and I'm the stealth candidate because nobody knows me. Anyway, I come from a military background. I retired from the Special Operations Command down the road a very, very long time ago, okay? I've had the opportunity to serve in the Middle East. I've spent 4 years in Panama. I had the opportunity to serve in Honduras, and now I've had the opportunity to draw a paycheck for a lot of years. Anyway, why am I running? I feel that we've faced some challenges. I'm optimistic, but I'm also realistic. I'm running as a sensible Republican. That'll shock you. I'm also running because I always see pretty women all over the place in this candidacy thing, and I like it. Anyway, so what would I like to accomplish? I'm going to look at the clock and see what I have left. We have kids being hurt in schools. We have 11 seconds on the clock. I believe that I can bring the enthusiasm and the objectivity and the sensible approach to our Congress. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Curtis.
I can take another minute now.
No, you can't.
What do I do with this?
No, sit. Okay. This cute little tiger is going to be awarded thanks to our illustrious, wonderful Garfield Committee, who's a volunteer to serve with us today. So I'm going to see who's next. You raise your hand. Obviously, I'm going to try to be fair between ladies and gentlemen. So I'll start with the boys first, and I'll give Mr. Gary, former president of Tiger Bay, first shot.
All right. Gary Dolgen. Earlier this week, Congressman Sanford was defeated in the Republican primary, and his opponent said that the Republican Party basically is the Trump Party. So my question to primarily the Republican candidates running is, do you believe that the Republican Party is the Trump Party? And do you disagree with anything that President Trump has done? And maybe specifically two examples, saluting the North Korean generals on North Korean state TV, and the separating of children from their parents when they're coming across the border.
Okay, we're going to start with you, and we're going to go down. You've got a minute to answer the question, each person, so you're first.
Once again, I'm Kurt Rodgers. I'm not running against or for Donald Trump. I believe we have some things to learn in the current administration. I believe that in the case of DACA, we need to take care of those kids. We need to take care of them now. Not a month from now, not 3 months from now, but now. Is that possible? I don't know. But I will say that it's important that we do that. With regard to $21 trillion in debt, and I'll answer the other questions you raised, okay? With regard to $21 trillion, we can't sustain that. We say that we're fiscal conservatives. No, we're not. We're spending too much money, and it's not ours. And the Chinese are loaning us the money, and so are the Japanese. If the Chinese start selling treasury bonds at the rate of $10 billion a week, we will be bankrupt in 90 days. We have to fix it. It's as simple as that. I'd like to go to the Congress to be objective, to be sensible, not to oppose anyone, to support 735,000 people in this district. Thank you much.
Time is up. Kristen, you're next.
As far as the Republican Party becoming the party of Trump, that's one of the reasons that I am running, and it's not specific to Donald Trump. I think we are in a hyper-partisan atmosphere in Washington, D.C. Like many Americans, we can't stand to watch the news in the morning. I'd like to return our country to somewhere in the middle where compromise is not a dirty word, where Republicans and Democrats can reach across the aisle and do important sweeping legislation like comprehensive immigration reform. No, I do not believe that children should be stripped from their parents at the border. It can cause traumatic, literally brain injury where children are exposed to that kind of trauma. They can hold on to those injuries for the rest of their life. As far as saluting the Korean general, I think we've seen so many norms broken. I think we need to bring it back to where diplomats and presidents act like presidents.
Thank you. Time's up. Neil, you're next.
Thank you. Obviously, there's a lot of Republicans who support President Trump, but there's also a lot of independents and Democrats. That's obvious by the win in Wisconsin, the win in Michigan. It took Democrats' support to get that accomplished. As far as the work that he has done in Singapore with the North Koreans, I am happy with what he's accomplished there. However we had to do it. We've been spending since 1950, billions of dollars on that Korean peninsula with not really very much in the way of results. So I think that, I need to salute him for the work that he's done there. I support comprehensive immigration reform. I would love to be able to participate in that, and the sooner the better. Can that happen? I don't know. Kurt said, will it happen? I don't know, but I certainly would like to see that. I think there's a lot of things that can and should be done with regard to immigration.
Thank you, Neil. Next, Sean.
Hi, Sean Harper. As far as North Korea, I mean, President Trump's been the only president that's been able to sit down with a North Korean leader over the last, since I've been aware of politics. And I can tell you, back when President Reagan was president, I used to sit in front of that TV and there was music videos and songs that saying he's going to cause nuclear holocaust. And it didn't happen. He gained peace through strength. And that's what we need. And he was able to sit down, and Trump was able to sit down with the Korean leader. And I think that that's where we're headed on that. On the DACA thing, first of all, we need to stop the illegal immigration across the border. We need to plug the hole. We need to get the wall built and stop illegal immigration. Do I think we need to send the kids back to where they came from? No. Let's get them in line. Let's not let them skip the line. Let's get them in line, and let's get them a path to citizenship. Thank you.
Next.
Well, thank you. So again, it's Danny Cushman. And I would tell you this, that the economy is doing pretty doggone good. So in the last 500 days, so let's just go back a few hundred days, my wife and I started a new business because we feel that it's time to move forward and grow our country even more. So we're gonna do this. We're about 3 months into it. The economy is doing great. So I support President Trump and the values that he's putting back into our economy. As far as Korea goes, it's been 60 years, as Neil said. I think it's time. I have a Korean War veteran father that lives with me, and I work with him every day. We work with the VA and that whole process, and he will tell you this war needs to end. So we're on a path to end of the war. comprehensive reform on immigration is needed. It's a must, not only for the kids, but for American business and American workers. We need a stable labor force, and we need a long-term solution to comprehensive immigration reform.
Time's
and
up.
I have a plan to do that.
Time's up.
Actually, it wasn't. 4 seconds to go.
Go ahead. Andrew.
You know, I would just remind us that the question was, if there's one thing that Trump has done in office that any of the Republicans would disagree with, I would say that I've deployed to the Middle East three times over 8 years of service that I've been in. I used to board Somali pirate skiffs, carried an M4 rifle every day and a 9mm. We'd go do the missions that the country asked. And one of our guys didn't come home because of a mission that Trump ordered. He tweeted the Muslim ban the night before the team went in, didn't listen to the advice that we were all giving him. And this is the one, if you remember, he took the briefing in the Mar-a-Lago ballroom instead of in a classified space where conversations like that are supposed to take place. Yes, there are mistakes that Trump has done since being in office. And yes, we should hold him accountable. And yes, we should be fighting for things, not, you know, the richest 1% who are doing great nowadays, but the rest of us who earn paychecks every day, the moms who are counting on us to make sure we can protect their health care and make sure that their kids can go to good schools and not take the money from the schools and give it to charters and the rest. You got to fight.
Time's up. Thank you, Andrew. Ray Pena, you're next.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Ray Pena. When it comes to North Korea, ladies and gentlemen, let's be realistic. If China's not at the table, whatever President Trump and Kim does, it's not going to go anywhere. China is going to be at that table, number one. Number two, as so far as the president goes, I don't know if you're comfortable with what's happening with our people coming into this country and children getting ripped away from their parents. I have a trouble with that when you have children being ripped away from their parents when they're breastfeeding, or you're telling your children we're going to go and give them a shower and they don't come back. I have a problem with that. And ladies and gentlemen, this is America, and what he's doing is un-American, and that's my position. Thank you.
Thank you. Ed?
The question was, has the Republican Party became a Trump Republican Party?
And if you disagree with anything.
And if I disagree. Well, I'm a conservative Republican, and I'm going to say right now, I stand firm in supporting President Trump and his agenda. Is this a Trump GOP? Absolutely not. But I'll tell you one thing that's happened since President Trump was elected as president. He has returned the Republican Party back to its conservative Republican roots. And he continues to drain the swamp, not only on the left, but also on the right. And absolutely, I'll go to Washington and we'll complete unfinished business that President Trump began. Thank you.
Thank you. Time's up. Mr. Spano, you have the last word.
Thank you so much. And as a caveat before I begin, unfortunately, this is the last question I can answer because my daughter-in-law has, in fact, getting ready to deliver. So that's pretty cool. So I support President Donald Trump. I, in fact, do. Is the Republican Party the party of Trump? No, I don't think Donald Trump would say that the Republican Party is the party of Trump. If he did that, he would be alienating much of the country. So I don't believe that's accurate. What I will say is the president has done some incredibly positive things, and to deny that he has within the last 18 months is just to deny the reality of the truth of what he's done. So I would
Gary,
say,
come on, Gary. Let him answer.
And so as far as his saluting the general, North Korean general, there is a specific protocol, and I think probably that what he did was appropriate under the circumstances. He was trying to show deference and respect to that leader. And I'd love to answer the rest of it at some point. Unfortunately, I have no additional time. So, and I'm sorry I can't stay for the rest of the meeting. I would love to have an opportunity to answer additional questions, and will do so if you want to contact me directly. 813-244-7758 is my cell.
Okay, thanks for the advertisement. We can, I'm gonna, thank you for coming, Mr. Spann. I appreciate it. I want you to move over there. All right, so we're gonna shuffle chairs around. I'll scoot this over here. All right. I'm going to give you the mic to hold. We're going to start with you. And I'm going to have Ms. Lynn Gray, our school board member, here today, our elected official, and she's a lady that's going to answer the next question. Lynn.
Thank you. I represent over 260 public and charter schools in this Hillsborough County. My concern, and I need for you all to share your position on this, my concern is that the charter school corporations, USA Academica, and a few others are taking valuable money from our public schools, so we are it's very hard for us to survive, at a rate of speed of $129 million a year, and that was last year, subtracting from the majority of our public school students. And I'm out of time. Please let me know your position on this for-profit charter schools in our Hillsborough County.
Thank you, Lynn. Okay, you're up first.
Thank you. That's one of the issues that I feel very strongly about. For our country to expand the middle class and get people back so that they can afford a house and afford retirements, we're going to have excellent education. And that education needs to be public education. But just for the reasons that you mentioned, we're siphoning off money from public schools every day to charter schools. And we have found over and over again that we're losing our position in the world as far as having superior education for our children. So I am opposed to siphoning off resources from public schools to charter schools.
Thank you. I'm gonna switch mics. Here we go.
Well, let me say I'm a big supporter of charter schools. Charter schools are public schools in the state of Florida. There are not-for-profit and there are for-profit charter schools, and I don't really see a great distinction between the two. What I'm looking for is to make sure that our kids have the chance to succeed, that we have great outcomes, educational outcomes for our students. In Jefferson County, is it Jefferson, Monticello? They had to take over the school board because the whole county was a failure. It was public. It was run by the public teachers and the public school board. So, yeah, there's problems in the state of Florida, and I think one of the solutions is the charter schools. And we, as a member of the legislature under 729, I supported the education bill, which allows the charter schools, for-profit and not-for-profit, to operate. So I'm a big supporter.
Thank you. Next.
Well, I come with an experience of my kids, and my kids have gone to private school, charter schools, and now they're going to public school. And it's, I believe the choice is the parents. We need to get the choice away from the federal government, first of all, and put local controls in, put controls into the state and to the local governments. That's key, so we can make our own local decisions that are affecting our kids here locally. That's my opinion on that. We also need to emphasize vocational training. My family's been a proponent of vocational training for many years, and colleges have gotten really expensive because we've told our kids that's the only path to success. There is a path to success other than going to college, and it's vocational training, getting training in middle schools and high schools, and letting our kids make a good living. I work with subcontractors every day in my business, and they make a good living. Thank you.
Thank you. Next.
Well, I began my campaign just a few weeks ago, it seems like. We all started with that same message of local control. We elect a local school board member throughout the state of Florida, and then Tallahassee and Washington, D.C. ties their hands with either unfunded mandates or, in my opinion, worse. They put strings on the tax dollars we send them before they bring it back to our local control. There is a time and a place, and there is a system in place that would remedy a failed local school board, even a local county commission that's out there. But for the most part, we need to ensure that our local governments have control over our local schools. I do support charter schools. I support any opportunity that's out there to help our students get ahead and to be successful. And when I grew up, we had drafting, we had FA, but we had industrial arts. We had those programs in place. We need to bring them back. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lerner.
For those of you who don't know, I own the Valrico Grade Power Learning Center. It's a tutoring center that helps kids. And about 2 years ago, I had six kids come to me in one school year because they had 5 different math teachers over the course of 1 year at their charter school. And that's right here in Hillsborough County. It's down in the Fishhawk area, down where I am in Valrico. You know, no, we should not be taking resources from public schools and giving it to charter schools. This is not like a hard question, guys. This is how we end up with a generation in this country where there's a group of haves and there's a group of have-nots. And we need to balance the scale so that we can fight for the kids who need us most. That's the role of public education. That's how we make sure they get the education they need for the 21st century. I would just finish, because I have 15 seconds, and, you know, teachers do not make enough money in this country. We could give the tax break, the $1.7 trillion tax cut that we just gave to billionaires, just the inheritance tax alone, is enough to give every teacher in America an $8,600 a year pay raise. You got to fight for education and our teachers.
Thank you, Andrew. Ray Pena?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's simple. I am against any taxpayer, any of your dollars, going to private charter schools. I'm against it, period. I think we need to invest more money in our teachers and our school districts. We have to pay our teachers more money and keep them from going to other industries and elsewhere. That is the issue. Then we also got to hold, with all due respect to our state legislators up here, hold their feet to the fire. Why is it that a school district sends a certain amount of money up to Tallahassee and they don't get that in return? So I have an issue with that. No to charter schools. No taxpayer dollars to charter schools. Thank you.
Ed?
First of all, I believe in school choice. However, as a former educator and licensed mental health counselor, and my wife is also a teacher here in Florida, we have an epidemic, and that is in education. We're seeing the traditional students slip through the cracks. As lead advocate and co-chair of the Polk County Community School Model Initiative, I played an instrumental role in getting our first community school in Polk County. I met recently with officials representing the community school model at UCF to discuss a national initiative. And what this model does, and I don't have time to explain it, but what this model does, it provides the needed assistance, support, and services to those children to prevent them from falling through the cracks and lift them up out of poverty. It's not an entitlement program, it's a community effort. Thank you.
Curtis, you have the last word.
Thank you so much. Education is a state of mind. That's what it is. We spend a lot of money on our individual students. In the Western world, we spend in the top category. By the same token, we have a history of public schools. They're important. They're important. And our teachers are underpaid. I'm sorry, sir, you have a question?
No, sorry. He's just next.
Our teachers are underpaid. They have to be competitive with others. You know, if you want to go out and teach, you deserve to earn money. A lot of our teachers are funding crayons and pencils and that sort of thing. Unusual for a Republican candidate to say. By the same token, we need to have kids in high school pass a civics exam. Now, they can take it seven times. They can take it seven times. We rotate the questions every time they take it. We won't teach the test. Teaching the test doesn't work. Students need to be open-minded, supported, and loved.
Thank you for your question and your answer. Thanks. Okay, I'm going to switch mics again. Here you go. You'll be up next first. And we're going to go to Andrew Moose, our illustrious treasurer. Andrew?
Good afternoon. This is for Neil Comby. You've claimed to be a businessman, but what exactly is your business?
Okay. Well, do give it a shot. You got a minute.
Thank you so much. We're in the farm and ranch business, and I'm also a realtor with Crosby & Associates, Florida Ag Realty, in Polk County.
Okay. Ladies next. So I see a lady's hand over there. And I'm going to give it to you, so I'll give you the next shot. Identify yourself.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Corwin. Moms Demand Action for Gun Sense in America gives a gun sense distinction to candidates who support common sense gun laws in America. I'm wondering how many of you have received that distinction, if you could just raise your hands.
Okay, we're going to start with Kristen. You got the, and then we'll go back this way. So, Kristen, you take it first, and then we'll go back to Neil. And you got 1 minute.
I have not received that distinction, but I am 100% in favor of common sense gun reforms. I'm opposed to high-capacity magazines. I'm opposed to the gun show loophole. I want there to be a prohibition of bump stocks and military assault-style weapons, and I favor universal background checks.
Okay.
Well, I am probably won't get much applause, but I am the Second Amendment guy in this race. I was the declared the undisputed leader on the protection of the Second Amendment in the Florida legislature, the one and only time an award has been given by Florida Carry. I will tell you, like I tell others, the reason I carry a weapon is because a policeman's too heavy. I've been raised out in the country in response time in Polk County, and I can't tell you what it is in Hillsborough, but response time there is probably in the 15 to 20 minute range if I call for law enforcement. And I believe that my friends, my family, have a right, constitutional right, to protect themselves, to protect their families, to protect their properties, and I make no apology for that. So, no, I do not have the rating that you ask about, but I do have the highest rating from NRA and from Florida Carry.
Thank you. Next.
Hi. I am a Second Amendment proponent, and I believe that is a right that was given to us, and we shouldn't take it away. I believe that a lot of the issues that we're seeing today in these horrible events are, you know, they're mental health issues, they're communication issues, and I think those are the problems we need to address. Do I think taking guns out of the hands of American citizens is the answer? No, I do not. I believe we have the answers, and it is to propose to address the mental issues, to address communication issues, and to promote the health, the mental health programs that are needed out there for troubled people. Thank you.
Next.
Well, I would agree with Sean on that too, but I would say this: the Second Amendment is not the 10th Amendment, it's not the 12th, it's not the 23rd, it's the Second Amendment. That's what our founding fathers put in our Constitution. So we have to support that. So I do not believe in taking away any additional rights for my right to keep and bear arms. I am not part of that program. Unfortunately, I didn't get that to look at, but I probably wouldn't have been selected in that regard. But as Sean said, mental health is a big issue. And you know, in reality, we need a Manhattan-style project to work on our mental health issue. We got to bring our 50 states together. We've created 50 kingdoms out here that preclude insurance to be sold across state lines. We've got organizations that could provide health insurance and really start covering a lot of people. So as your next congressman, I'm going to push for that. We need to ensure that we allow for the mental health coverage within our healthcare industry. Thank you.
Thank you, Danny. Andrew?
You know, it was more than 500 days between Pulse and the massacre in Parkland, and Rick Scott did absolutely nothing to make us safer. I'm a proudly distinguished with Moms Demand. I was the first one in this race to get that distinction because I don't think it's a hard thing to say that when I was on a Somali pirate skiff carrying an M4 rifle, I needed that assault rifle for that job, and I don't need one in my current job. And we sure as hell just don't need them in our kids' schools, which is what the rhetoric we keep hearing from the other side. It makes no sense. We talk about the tragedies that are happening in our schools, but yet we have no solutions that we're going to offer. No one up here is going to fight for the fact that we have to make sure that our kids are safe in their schools and we should have less guns on the streets. And you can do that in a common sense fashion. Then, of course, that should be something you proudly support.
Thank you, Andrew. Ray?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's simple. I carried an M16 in the service. I carried an AR-15 as a patrol officer. Those type of weapons kill people. We don't need them on our city streets. We don't need civilians to be in possession of those weapons. And this has nothing to do with the Second Amendment. We're not taking away nobody's weapons here. Let's get on the same page, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about keeping high-capacity assault rifles out of the hands of some folks that may not have the mental capacity to have those weapons in their hands. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about getting guns into the teachers. Teachers don't want guns. They want to teach. My wife, a 31-year university professor of chemistry, I can't even fathom her having a .40 caliber on her side. So, ladies and gentlemen, this has nothing to do with the Second Amendment. This is about protecting our kids. That's all it's about.
Thank you, Ray.
Keep the rifles out of the crazy people's hands. Simple as that. Thank you.
Ed, you're next.
Well, if it's not a gun, it's going to be another weapon. I was elected as state...
All right, no. Let him talk. Let him talk. He's got the floor.
I was elected as state committeeman for the Polk County, for the RPOF. I serve on the Second Amendment Committee, and I'm proud of it. And I'll tell you what, as a licensed mental health counselor, and I'm glad each one of my Republican opposition have mentioned mental health services, because it's the mental health services that's the epidemic in this country that's being ignored. And we need to work together to find out how we address the mental health issues. And I have a pretty good idea of how we address them, and that's creating the connectedness with families again, where we don't have children with mental health issues straying off and picking up a weapon. So I fully support the Second Amendment. Thank you.
Curtis, you have the last word.
Thank you. The Second Amendment is law. What does it take to change the Second Amendment? It takes every state in the union to make a vote that's not going to be made. Okay? So that's a fact. If you've got a solution to change the Second Amendment, other than that, then rewrite the Constitution. However, on the same token, we need safe guns. We need safe guns, and we need a program in particular in the school system that, to use the term comprehensive, is comprehensive, okay? There's no way that what happened in Southeast Florida should have occurred, because I don't want to be egocentric, but I have a 10-point plan to reduce losses in schools. It may not solve it all, because here's the deal. I commanded a rifle company in Panama with 127 soldiers who all carry that weapon.
Time's
up. It's dangerous, and it must be safe. And I'm sorry, I lost track of the time.
Yes, that's okay. We're gonna speed up the answer time. You're gonna have 30 seconds from now on. And your next question is with Gary. Gary, stand up, please.
And this is a question you can answer in 30 seconds. My name is Gary Stein. I am a longstanding member here at Tampa Bay, at Tiger Bay. And I am currently the new political director and agent for the Clarity PAC, the very first political action committee on pro-cannabis issues, an issue that is endorsed by 65% of the voting population here in the United States. Here is the question. We have always embraced accepting the tax revenue for the responsible adult use of alcohol. Would you accept the tax revenue from the responsible adult use of cannabis?
For what? Oh, for pot.
Cannabis.
Okay, pot.
I will be asking Ross Spano this same question.
Okay, so we'll start with Kristen. You got 30 seconds.
30 seconds.
And we'll move
I
down.
I support the legalization of marijuana. And when I say I support the legalization, that legalization comes with regulation. It comes with taxation. I don't think we should have 16-year-old kids out smoking in the playground. But again, yes, I would accept the tax revenues from cannabis.
Thank you. The war on drugs is a failure. But I will tell you, the voters have spoke when it comes to medical marijuana. The amendment was relatively clear. We've got medical marijuana. I fought to try to create more distribution centers, more dispensaries. And when we took this up in the House trying to develop legislation as a result of the constitutional amendment, I'm more of a decriminalization, no tax. I just don't think that's the right way to go. I think that more or less sends a signal that we condone it. We want to, my time's up.
Time's up, that's right. Next.
Well, we're running for federal office, and I don't think this is a federal issue. I think it's a state issue, and I think that the voters have already voted on it. And, you know, the voters in many states have voted on this issue, and I think that you're going to see that continue. So I believe that the federal government shouldn't be involved in that decision. The Florida state voters have already voted on it. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Next.
You know, the voters have voted in the state of Florida for medical marijuana, and I've been to two facilities already, one in up in Apopka and one just south here in Ruskin there for some friends of mine. I support that. I've seen what medical marijuana can do to help in the opioid crisis, so I do support that. I do not support the use of recreational marijuana. However, with that said, should the voters decide to do that again, then you've got to get behind that. Now, at the federal issue, it is illegal, so I think Trump is willing to make some rule changes too with Congress, and I would work with him on that.
Thank you. Andrew?
You know, I was at a house party out in Lakeland last week, and I had a parent pass me a card for a son that she lost to an opioid overdose for heroin. We're losing 22 veterans a day because of overdoses and suicide specifically, but, you know, this is something we could solve. And yes, 100%, I'm for pro-legalization. It just makes sense. We should tax it, and we should use the money to make our schools better. We should invest in a better Florida, period.
Right.
I am pro-medicinal marijuana. I supported the Compassionate Use Act in 1996 as a law enforcement officer in the state of California. And I support the Compassionate Use Act here in the state of Florida. Unfortunately, state legislators decided they wanted to politicize this issue, but the people have spoken. So I fully support medicinal marijuana. Thank you.
Ed?
I don't support it. I'm sorry. You know, but let me explain why. I'm a licensed mental health counselor. I have a doctorate in psychology. My clients consist of children that are having difficulties in the public school system. It also consists of families who have adopted children that have come through the child welfare system. I see the impact that that substance abuse, whether it's marijuana or not, has on children. And no, I will not support it or condone it.
Thank you. Curtis, you have the last word.
Thank you so much. I support the medical use of marijuana. It's been proven that it helps vets who are in trouble. It helps others, okay? I'm a bit conflicted on the use of marijuana with regard to what you say for adults, but adults abuse alcohol more than they abuse marijuana. So in that regard, kids using, brains are developing, as you well know, for youngsters. They ought not be given that drug. It could be a transition drug for them. Thank you.
Thank you. We have another question coming up here. Identify yourself. Stand up, please. Identify yourself. And
my name's Janet Green, and I'm an attorney here in town. I'm also probably one of the oldest native Floridians here in the room, as I was born and raised in Miami. My question to you, and all I need is a show of hands. One of the most wonderful things we have in Florida and one of the most endangered is our water supply and our coast. And I would like to know, as a show of hands, if you are elected to go to Congress, can we depend upon you to fight to the end against offshore drilling in either the Atlantic or in the Gulf, and to do everything you can to support our water supply saviors by getting rid of the sugar, which was already voted on by
That's
the
two
people.
Questions. You got,
okay.
These guys
the
are
water.
Not, okay. This, okay. This is not my, complicated.
Sorry about that.
It's okay. I'm confused.
My question to you is: are you committed, if you go to Washington, to support and free our Florida water supply in all forms? Show of hands.
Okay. So we'll start. Okay. We just do everybody. Now, I'm assuming the question is: do you support banning offshore drilling? Can we can simplify that? Okay, so let's raise your hands. And well, I'm trying to make this as simple as possible. All right, so raise your hands if, and I'll paraphrase this. Do you support banning offshore drilling off the coast of Florida? Either you, okay. Could you keep them up?
Absolutely.
Okay. One, two, three. Okay. All right. Good. So that's. Okay, you're gonna have 30. You're gonna have. Let's see. Can you mark that 15 seconds or 20 seconds? You got 20 seconds to expand upon your position on water quality, offshore drilling, and so forth. 20 seconds each person, starting with
Kurt Rogers.
Kurt, thank
I'm
you.
I'm opposed to offshore drilling. It's already been demonstrated that we've had issues with this over the years. Okay. With regard to safe water, who can argue with safe water? What we have to do is ensure that shortage of water globally is addressed, which sounds weird, but I'm also a global thinker. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, as a future legislator, I really don't have enough information on that. That's why I didn't raise my hand, but I'd like to sit down with you and talk to you more about it. Seriously.
You want a question? Yeah. Okay, thank you. Ray, you're next.
I am against oil drilling off the East Coast or the West Coast in the Gulf. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Ray. Andrew, you're next.
100% I'm opposed to the offshore drilling. I will just use my remaining 16 seconds to say that we should be talking more about healthcare and the fact that the Republicans tried to take healthcare away from one out of every six of us last April with a pre-existing condition. I mean, you got to go up there and you got to fight for that too, and I want to make sure we get the time in to make sure we protect our care.
Thank you, Andrew. Next.
I was hired by the Southwest Florida Water Management District to help create a water supply authority in Polk County. I brought 17 municipalities together and a county. As soon as that ink was dry to create that water supply authority, I resigned my position. I did my job. But that program is to help conserve our water. We have precious resources in our state. We need to conserve them.
Thank you. Thank you. Next.
Our tourism is a precious resource. I love the beaches on both sides of the state. I've lived here all my life, and that's why I live in Lakeland. I can get one to a beach in an hour and a half on one way and an hour on the other, and I do not want to see any offshore drilling. Thank you.
Okay, next.
Well, the truth is that I've looked at the San Diego Bight, and I don't know how many people know about the San Diego Bight in here, and looked at the production that's been there for years. It's one of the most abundant places that you will find sea life around those derricks and platforms, and it's been there for generations, and it's been producing oil safely. All you need to do is just look it up, the San Diego Bight.
Thank you. And Christy, you have the last word.
Clean air and clean water are the only thing that are going to make Florida a secure and safe place to live and raise our families. If you think about the BP oil spill, you know we cannot have offshore drilling in Florida. Our tourist industry depends too much. And if you think of Flint, Michigan, we can't drink water like that.
Okay. Our timekeeper asked for a question, so I'm going to defer to you.
Okay, real quick. This is for the Democrats. As when you run for office, you're going to represent the people. But as an elected official, you represent your party too. Whether it's a blue wave or a red wave at the end of this year, if you win, will you support Nancy Pelosi as minority leader or majority leader?
Interesting question. Kristen, you're the Democrat.
First up. I am in favor of a change in our leadership of the Democratic Party.
Next Democrat, I think that may be Andrew.
If I'm elected, I won't support Pelosi.
Okay. Okay, we got that one. All right.
Andrew. You know, I'll be honest with you. I get that question a lot, and I just don't frankly care because our health care is under attack.
Do you vote for or not?
Honestly, I can't tell. That's not our fight. I want to make sure I will be one of the ones who go. Sorry. We are ready for a new gen. I hear you. We need a new generation of leadership, but the fight that I'm in is for the majority of the House. This is one of the most flippable congressional seats in the country. We need to get up there so we can protect our health care and make sure we have the resources we need to fight for a new generation.
Okay, okay. All right, break up the fight. Break up the fight. Okay.
This is fun.
Ray, you're next.
I do support change. I think that Nancy should step down and let some new blood move in.
Okay, interesting. I think that's the last Democrat, so we'll pass the mic down. I think I have another question over here. Identify, you're a Kentucky member? Okay, yeah. Good.
Identify yourself. My name is Jerry Presley, and the question that I have for you all is, we kind of see the hyper-partisanship that's going on in this country today. Today, we need more statesmanship and less politicians. As candidates for public office, what is your commitment to representing all of the people, whether they're Republicans or Democrats, and what will you do to specifically work across party lines for the betterment of this nation and putting aside politics for the sake of the country?
All right, 20 seconds, starting, where's the microphone? Let's start down there. Curtis, you start.
Thank you so much, I agree.
20 seconds.
Yes, I'm running as a sensible Republican, okay? I can't support the extreme right or the extreme left. I'm kind of going to move towards the middle. I want to work with everyone in the U.S. Congress, and I will do that.
Thank you.
Well, one thing is we all have our passionate differences, and I respect that. I respect it out of myself towards others that have differences in opinion, and I expect that from others toward me. I will promote unity, but I expect respect and also respect for differences as well.
As a retired law enforcement officer, ladies and gentlemen, I didn't have the option to treat one group of people different from another group of people. I treat everybody across the board. If I have to take you to jail, you go to jail, just like anybody else. But I serve everybody regardless of color, creed, backgrounds, or wherever you come from. Thank you.
Thank you, Ray. Andrew?
You know, when I got into this fight a year ago, I was getting attacked because I was a Republican until about 5 years ago. And I would tell you that the Republican Party left me. I am all for getting things done in Washington, but there are certain things you got to put your foot down and you got to fight for your principles. And my mom's a lifelong Republican who believes in Medicare for all because she has patients who die every day because they can't afford their medical bills. And I, you know, stand on your principles and you can still get things done at the same time.
Thank you. Next, go ahead.
Does anybody believe there's a statesman in Washington right now, with exception of the president, which I do believe is carrying that role, whether you believe it or not? But we do need to elect leaders, folks that will go out there and represent their district and represent all. That's what we have to have, and leadership does that, no matter what your party is, no matter what your background is. Thank you.
In my business, I make tough decisions every day. I don't make them because I'm a Democrat or a Republican. I make them because they're tough and they need to be solved. I'm a problem solver, and that's what we need in Congress is problem solvers. That's what I will bring. I will not look at issues of Republican and Democrat. I will make tough decisions up there and get things done. Thank you.
Good policy that improves our standard of living and our quality of life is good policy. It's good for Democrats, Republicans, and Independents. As a county commissioner and later as a state representative, my staff never asked, what's your party registration when somebody was asking us for help. We certainly treated everybody the same way, whether they were Republican, Democrat, or Independent.
Last question. Do you have it?
I have a 38-year track record of working across the aisles. I have been a participant and an attorney for the Florida citrus industry, which is, there's hardly a Democrat to be found in the Florida citrus industry, and we've worked well together. And I don't think without bipartisan legislation, we're not gonna get health care, we're not gonna get a good tax code, we're not gonna get anything in that, and that's, that is why I'm going to Washington to have results